Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. Today's episode will be about how God has the last word. Our text is Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46, and from the English Standard Version it reads, "There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence round it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than at first, and they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, 'He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him.' When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet." Why is it so important sometimes for us to feel like we need to have the last word? It's true, isn't it? We want the last word in any conversation. It makes it hard to know when to hang up the phone. It's portrayed well on television, whether as on some rom-com, "You hang up, no you hang up, no you hang up," to more serious things like a political debate. The person who has the last word is seen to be the one winning the argument. The rapper that keeps coming back wins the poetic duel. So it's a pattern that tends to manifest itself in our lives as well, in our own arguments or discussions with one another. Having the last word validates our opinions and self-worth, even though we may be inconsiderate of the many feelings and opinions of others. Having the last word helps us maintain our own personal status quo or way of life by convincing ourselves that we're right and don't need to change. And I will add that the last word isn't even necessarily said out loud. Maybe after a long discussion with someone, you still say something to yourself in your head which tells you you're still right and just let the other person finish instead of really considering what they had to say. It's good to take a step back from time to time and analyze this behavior, because there are times when we may regret our need to have the last word. Maybe a time when we see how much it really did hurt someone else. We may dwell on whether or not that could have been prevented. I think this is where the phrase, "think before you speak," comes in, as well as, "and if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything." And really, where this becomes significant is in our conversations with God. If we consider such things with one another, isn't it just as important to consider them with God? Do you ever think about whether or not you have the last word when it comes to talking with God? I guess this is the same point as whether or not we believe our prayer is just one-sided. Whether the point of prayer is for God to just hear what we have to say, what we think about things. What we are to see is that not only does God have a word to say, He is the Word. And really that means He should have the last word as well. For us to think in any way that we have the last word would be to risk cutting off the conversation with God for all eternity. To not understand this fundamental relationship we have with God is to miss out on the true joy of the relationship that He wants to have with us. Because finally, when all is said and done, Jesus has had the last word. Jesus is, of course, our Savior, and we want the last word to be good news, and we know that with Him, this will always be the case. So again, we want God to have the last word. So let's look at times when God's word would have been enough, but we interfered and made things worse for ourselves. You see, the Lord has given us his word, which can always really then be a blessed last word. But we keep forcing him into a position where if there is going to be any kind of good end for us, he needs to say something else. Once upon a time, God spoke to Israel, calling them his special people, giving them his unlimited goodness. Jesus spoke about this in the parable of the tenants. He plants it, fences it in, digs a winepress, and builds a tower. If there was anything more he could have done, he would have. So having been created just right for purpose, he leaves the whole operation to his tenants, giving them the benefits of his labors, trusting them to give a portion of the fruit in season. No matter how much work it seems we may have to do, he's done more and he's done everything so that we can have what we have in the first place. In this vineyard was a wonderful picture of what God had done for Israel. This was God's word, full stop, his promise. He would shower blessings on them for all eternity. That was his last word. Or it would have been a lovely last word to have been given. The Creator-Giver of every good thing had bestowed blessings on all Israel. He gives the same thing to us, of course. As the Redeemer God, he has blessed us with the eternal life through salvation. Another one of his last words, as Jesus breathed his last hanging from a dead tree. I put it in these terms because throughout the ages, every time God says something which should presumably take care of our sin, we say something back, usually undoing everything he has just accomplished for us. And amazingly, instead of giving up, he does even more, promises more grace, not to reward our sin, but because it is necessary to save us from it. And so this relationship continues, with the occasional reflection of his love and mercy through his children who are beloved people for all eternity. Time and time again, however, even when God's people rebelled or refused to bear fruit, he still sent his word again through prophets. The master sent one servant after another to receive the fruit, verses 34 to 36. Oh, that any of these could simply be the last word. And in each case it could have ended with, all is forgiven, you are still mine. Finally, last of all, God sent his son, verse 37. Surely this could be the last word and all be well. For many today it is. For this is the last word God repeats again and again. This is why 2,000 years later it sounds like a broken record and people take it for granted. God has no more last words to send but this one. He has sent everyone else already, prophets, priests, and kings, and now he has sent his only begotten son. There is no one more significant to send. So this remains the last word, and every time he repeats it, it becomes the last word, Jesus. Jesus has saved you from your sin. But we are all too often determined to have the last word still, just as Israel was determined to have the last word. Let us learn from this. Remember how they collected their share of fruit and returned the servants of the Lord and his son away empty. They would rather beat, stone, and kill them than let God have the last word. They were so twisted in their thinking that they thought if they killed God's son, they might finally have what they wanted. They thought they could claim the kingdom of God as their own. They thought they were in control. This is the tragedy of Israel. They killed the Lord's prophets and they finally killed Jesus. So how careful are we that our desire to have the last word does not show up in our conversations with God too, as his people today? Yes, Lord, I know what you say in your sixth commandment, but we're really in love. Yes, Lord, you promised to provide everything I need, but I'm just going to hold this little bit back just in case. Yes, Lord, I know you love everyone, but you can't really expect me to forgive him for that. What we are to see is that this last word will work in two ways. For those who do not believe, Jesus will have the last word. What will the Father do with those who have butchered his servants and son without a care? And the last part is important because he does, of course, give us one last chance to speak, that we might repent. And for those who do repent, there is another last word. This is the last word we look forward to, the word God keeps giving, granting us certain hope for salvation and freedom to live in him. So we are to be careful of what we say, what we believe and confess, because what a horrible thing it would be if we were left with the last word. In our sin, our last word would only lead to death, No matter how clever we think we are or how much we deceive ourselves into thinking we're in control because we can talk back, we will not have the last word. God will come in either judgment or salvation. So may our last word not bring judgment upon ourselves. The question is whether we stand condemned or saved. Will our last word reflect our sin or Christ's forgiveness for it? Just so, from the lips of those who believe, fruit will come forth in its season. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Verse 42, also from Psalm 118:22. Jesus, the stone, the Son, was rejected, yes, even killed. But in that moment he spoke the last word, it is finished. Then his resurrection proved that death could not have the last word, and so it isn't for us either. Though the devil would like to whisper in our ears that death has the last word, we are told even death has lost its sting. The resurrection of Jesus now offers the kingdom to all who believe in him, to you and to me. And on this he builds his church, not on you and me, on his word, on the cornerstone, and we are built up in him. It's his word we lean on. He's the last word because he is every word. The Israelites once upon a time were forced to make bricks without straw. It couldn't be done. Just so the church is not built without Christ in every brick. He isn't just the foundation stone. He is the mortar. He is the wood. He is the gold. He is bread and wine. He is everything. To think that he has simply left it to us to build on him would be wrong. We don't just try to follow his example. We necessarily need him in everything we do. Otherwise, it won't stick. This is why God needed to send prophet after prophet to God's people, to reconcile his people to himself. And each time he wanted that to be the last word, the word which Christ now speaks to us again and again in himself. We need nothing else. This is why we correctly consider the preaching of God's word to be the last word. It declares to us Christ. This is why we consider the word with water and holy baptism to be the last word, as it gives us tangibly what Christ did for us on the cross by rebirthing us into his death and resurrection. That's the last word. The last word is at the Lord's table where he delivers to us Christ's forgiveness for sins. And just as mysteriously, Christ, who is the last word, bears fruit in the believer, who in the end does return to the Master his due. But we're not talking about grand schemes of good works, as you might think, but the simple act of faith, which is the bearing of Jesus' name. That's it. For all who believe, we bear the name of Jesus, the one who sacrificed everything for us, in all humility, and we produce fruit then, quite simply, as God intends to prosper his vineyard. In a world where no one seems to let anyone else have the final say, where all beliefs are given equal weight, where even bumper stickers demand we coexist, Jesus does have the last word. He tells us that he is the stone that has become the cornerstone of God's eternal kingdom. And so, as far as having the last word, there's nothing left to say but Amen. That is, there is nothing to say of our own accord, but to repeat back to God what he has already said. Lord, let it be so according to your word, your last word. It is finished. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Next week, we will see how the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ, is preparing for the ultimate wedding feast from Matthew 22. For now, God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series, Faith That Functions.